In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for thee. Exercise all thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of thy church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 86, The Love of Our Selves. And we see two drawings and images at the top of the lesson. The first picture shows the care of our souls. So it shows a woman with the rosary in her hand kneeling down praying. And the second one, under that caption, says care of the soul. And the second one says care of the body. And we see an ill man lying in bed. It looks like the doctor checking him. The commentary for that image says, God commands us to love ourselves. We must thus care for both body and soul. Since the soul is far more precious than the body, we should give it careful attention. We should give it more careful attention. Every day we must pray for grace to live according to God's will. Care for the body includes taking proper treatment and medicine when we are ill. Anything against health violates the duty to love ourselves. Why must we love ourselves? We must love ourselves because God wishes and requires it. Our Lord said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, from St. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. Thus he made the love of self the measure of love for others. St. Augustine says, Learn first to love God, then to love thyself, then thy neighbor as thyself. Each man is his own closest neighbor. We are made after God's image. We must therefore reverence God's image in ourselves, just as we are bound to respect it in our neighbor, even our worst enemy. We are redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are bought with a great price. We must be very precious in God's sight. St. Peter says, You were redeemed from the vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, not with perishable things, with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. First Epistle of St. Peter, chapter 1, verse 18. By the merits of Jesus Christ, we are made children of God and temples of the Holy Ghost. Should we not love ourselves as such, if only to show reverence for God? Quote, Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. First Epistle of St. John, chapter 3, verse 1. Another quote, Know you not that your members are the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you, from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19. We are destined to live eternally with God and the angels in heaven. This dignity should impel us to love ourselves aright. The end of man is the glory of God and the salvation of his own soul. We must have care, love of ourselves, in order to save ourselves for God. For this reason, we should even love ourselves more than others. We have a greater duty to ourselves than to others. This should not be interpreted, however, as meaning that we should not sacrifice ourselves for the sake of others. For as we shall see, self-sacrifice is not only possible, but most desirable. In what consists true love of self? True love of self consists in avoiding sin and practicing virtue. Quote, Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are who enter that way. How narrow the gate and close the way that leads to life, and few there are who find it. St. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. We must assure our eternal salvation before we attend to earthly things. which are but means to our last end. Quote, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be given you besides." St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We should care more for our soul than for the ease of our body. If we lose our soul, we lose everything. We should provide for our bodily needs, such as food, clothing, etc., but without excessive solicitude. They are only means by which we may ascend to God. We have a quote, "Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, and yet only one thing is needful." St. Luke chapter 10, verses 41 through 42. It is against true love of self to strive only after earthly possessions and honors and neglect eternal salvation. Quote, "Take heed not to practice your good before men in order to be seen by them. Otherwise you shall have no reward with your Father in heaven." From St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Another quote, "For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but suffer the loss of his own soul?" From St. Matthew chapter 16, verse 62. St. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. Earthly riches and honors are not good in themselves, but are good only as a means for attaining eternal happiness. They are not to be used to gratify our senses, our pride, arrogance, conceit, or vanity, but only to help us go closer to God. Does love of self include love of the body? Love of self includes love of the body, for our body is a gift of God that we should treat as such. Our body is united with our soul and is the soul's instrument for good, for the attainment of our end, eternal happiness. God did not create us as disembodied souls. It is his will that we work out our salvation in this world, our souls inhabiting our body. As the instrument of the soul, the body must not be misused. Quote, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, and do not yield your members to sin as weapons of iniquity, but present your members as weapons of justice for God." From Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. We should have the greatest respect and reverence for our body. We should never defile it by sin, for it is destined to live forever in heaven. We should guard our eyes, ears, tongue, and hands carefully, because sin enters the soul by the five senses. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is like a monstrance holding God. St. Peter spoke of his body as a tabernacle. Some people are very particular about keeping their body clean. They frequently soap and wash their hands and disinfect them after touching dirty things. But they are not so careful about avoiding sins that make their body so dirty that no disinfectant can purify it. We do not love our bodies when we indulge it in vanity or too much comfort or by gratifying its every passion. By such indulgence, we rather hate our body because we bring upon it eternal punishment. The saints mortified their bodies. That is how they understood the words of our Lord. Quote, "For he who would save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake will save it." From St. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Does true love of self also include care for one's reputation and temporal goods? True love of self also ordinarily includes care for one's reputation and temporal goods. A good reputation is a precious possession, useful for both time and eternity. By a good reputation, one can do much good. Being well thought of, he can be of influence over others, as well as more encouraged by himself to lead an upright life. Our Lord himself said, quote, "So let your light shine before men in order that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And the apostle reiterates the same advice when he said, "Let your moderation be known to all men." in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Temporal goods are useful as a means for obtaining spiritual riches. By them we can help the needy, promote religion, gain ascendancy for the common good. As with our body and our reputation, we should use riches only for the glory of God and the welfare of ourselves and our fellow men. When put to the right use, all of these make us truly rich in the eyes of God. Then we shall have no fear at death when God says to us, quote, make an accounting of your stewardship of all these gifts, from St. Luke chapter 16, verse 2. That ends the reading of lesson 86 on love of ourselves. Do we have any questions or comments? These chapters or lessons are looking in very logical order. Last week we saw, the love of God, the two great commandments, the first one to love God. Now we see the love of ourselves, and obviously next week we will look at the love of our neighbor. And this is the right order, the right progression, that we must love God first with our whole heart, mind, and soul, and then love ourselves so that we can love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So it's important that we have the proper love of ourselves, and that includes both our body and soul. It does in the spiritual life become a little bit difficult when we strive to discipline the body, to subject the body to penance, mortification, make offerings, sacrifices, seeking to implement as best we can our Lord's command to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. And we must do that if we are to be His disciples, but at the same time we must not overstrike that. We must use moderation in all things, and especially about the beginning of the season of Lent. I began my priestly career, I would really emphasize, especially to the young people, the need to do penance. And I think perhaps I've given some children an over-enthusiastic desire to do penance. And now I try to warn parents, you have an obligation to watch over your children so that they do not harm themselves in their fasting and their enthusiasm. And it seems that there has to be a delicate balance there. We need that enthusiasm, that willingness to make a sacrifice, to do penance, to mortify our bodies, but at the same time we need someone overseeing us to say, at least those who are not yet mature enough to oversee themselves, to say, this is the limit here. You can do this much and no more. I can recall Bishop Lewis telling us about a lady who wanted to do a black fast. He commanded her as a penance that she should eat one piece of bread and with her coffee in the morning or something, but he added something to her fasting. And of course they're shocked by this. You know, I want to do penance, not reduce the penance. I'm expecting you to increase it. But there is, I think, more reward in the obedience, and this is a test of obedience. Are we fasting and doing penance for our own pride and vanity, so we can say, look at me, see what I did? Or is the Pharisee standing before our Lord, I thank you, Lord, I'm not like the rest of men? That pride and vanity destroys all the good work that has been accomplished. And if we can combine those good works, that enthusiasm to love God and serve God and to deny ourselves, take up our cross, make really a living sacrifice with our bodies, and balance that with the true love of ourselves, I think we hit the nail on the head. And we're tempted, I know, to go from one extreme to the other, and it's not as easy to do as it is to say that virtue is in the middle course. And we should strive for moderation, we should strive for modesty in all things, avoiding one extreme or the other. And so I think the proper love of ourselves is a lifetime endeavor, even for the religious life, where we have, you might say, by our profession, the pursuit of this love of God and pursuing eternal salvation, not only for ourselves, but for all those whom we are bound to pray for. And, children must be taught to deny themselves little things and to have a love of God in their hearts in doing so, to do so willingly with enthusiasm, not, oh no, here comes Lent again, but with the sense of eagerness that this is an opportunity for me to give the gift, this gift to Jesus, to do this sacrifice, but at the same time to do so with moderation, because the life that God has given us is not meant to be destroyed by us, but to be treasured and to be loved as God loves it. So that's balance, the enthusiasm, the willingness, the desire to sacrifice, to do penance, has to be balanced with a proper love and understanding of what it means to love ourselves as God intends us to love ourselves. And so in the religious life, we have our superiors, and the world, our children should have their parents looking after them. And I think we don't really pay enough attention to this, because we don't really excite that fire or fan the flames of love in those children often enough or soon enough. And so it's not really a problem to get them to love their bodies. They actually go to the opposite extreme and wanting to pamper their body. And of course, I think many parents can be blamed for that, because the children are only imitating what they see in their life. Any questions, comments? Okay. And I will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Thank you.